This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day. It's Father Tom and Anthony today.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. We're coming toward Holy Week. It's the best week of the year. As we proclaim and as we sacramentalize the death, burial, and resurrection of the Master Jesus.
And on Easter Vigil, we have a bunch of people coming into the church, becoming Catholic, receiving baptism, receiving Jesus' body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist for the first time to receive the divine life within them. Father, tell them Sunday morning what we did with all the new catechumens.
We were in the living room at the rectory, and it was filled with people. People who are going to give their lives to Jesus in the Catholic Church. I tell you, were you once Catholic? I'm going to tell you, you're still Catholic. You cannot shake being Catholic, just like you cannot shake being Irish. It's the way it is. God has plans for you. He established one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. He did not establish 7, 8, or 800 ones. Only one he established. And that's the way it is. Now, I'm not telling you that the one church is perfect. Oh, no. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And all have sinned, and that's the way it is. But you know what? You don't dump the sinner. You forgive him. That's what you do. You don't dump the sinner. You forgive the sinner. And then you move on with your life. And so many people have dumped the church. And I'm going to tell you, people who have been in authority at parishes have not always been kind. I understand that. I remember going to confession once, and the priest wanted nothing to do with me. I said, listen, I'm here. I didn't say this out loud. I expected to find Jesus, but I found Judas instead. It was awful. It was terrible. But you know what? No man or woman could make me leave the church that Jesus founded. Nobody, nobody, nobody. I know where I am. I know who I am in Christ. And I know that the faith I have is the faith of the church.
So we had all the people in the living room. And Father talked about the day of Pentecost, how the apostles were all in one accord, waiting on the precious Holy Spirit. And Father testified, and I testified to when the Holy Spirit came upon me and made us a new creation. For those who are in Christ Jesus are a new creation.
Behold,
has passed away.
Behold, the new have come.
So when you become a new creation, you become divine. You're not even from this earth anymore. You carry the divine life of Jesus Christ within you. You become a supernatural being. You have the ability to release God's miracle powers, that the angels of God begin to surround you, that what we honor, we attract. What we honor, we attract. When we honor Jesus, he comes with his spirit. When we honor the angels, they begin to surround us when we have our sensitivity to focus on them. Every angelic encounter starts with Jesus being the center. Father, we thank you for the holy angels of God surrounding everyone listening to this broadcast right now. That as we preach your word, God, the angels inhabit the praises of God. They follow and they listen to the word of God, that as you declare the word of God, the angels don't know if it's you or Jesus, because Jesus lives and dwells within you, that you are surrounded by the holy angels right now. And Father, I pray that they minister to each and every person to bring them into the glory of God as we preach. You know, the gospel isn't about you go to heaven when you die. The gospel is you are rejoined with the Trinity here and now upon this earth. That the Spirit lives, that the love of the Spirit dwells within you. The wisdom of Jesus and the power of the Father. That you are a meeting point between heaven and earth. That when someone encounters you, they encounter another dimension. When you walk in a room, when I walk in a room, when Father walks in a room, we carry everything with heaven within us. When I come, so do the angels. When I come, Jesus is within me. When I come, miracles happen. Deliverance occurs. Healing. Because we carry a spiritual atmosphere. And when we align ourselves with the frequency of heaven, when we align ourselves with the frequency of heaven, then miracles break out wherever we go. You see, you are more than a conqueror. The power in you is so far greater than anything in this world. We carry an energy field, but our energy is not... It's the energy of God. It's the energy of the Holy Spirit. That if someone just comes into your atmosphere, if someone just comes near you, they should be inebriated with the love of God. Because the light of God, the love of God, the peace of Jesus should be spilling out from you. That we have billions and trillions of receptacles within our body. And these spiritual receptacles were created to receive God's light, to receive God's divine life. To receive his power. We want to be Christians that carry something. What do you carry? You got to be carrying the power of God. You want to be carrying the supernatural love of Jesus Christ. We want to be carrying something. We don't want to walk in this no power. Jesus and the apostles walked in power because that is how they converted the world. Amen. That is how they changed it. St. Paul said, I ain't come just with words, but a demonstration of the Spirit's power. Sometimes words aren't enough. For me, words were never enough. I needed to experience the power of God. That God, he'll pass over 100 people praying to get to that one person who's believing. I'm going to say it again. God will pass over 100 people who are praying to get to that one person who's believing. You see, we pray so that we can walk in the faith, divine faith. We don't want to have faith in Jesus. I want to have the faith of Jesus. That's my prayer for all of us. Lord Jesus, we don't want to have the faith in you. We want to have the faith of you. Because faith is a substance, and it is communicated to us by the Holy Spirit. So we're going back into the room with the catechumens. It was me, Father, and about 30 people coming into the church. And as we proclaimed that Jesus said, it is better that I go than if I stay, because I'm going to go to the Father and send down the Holy Spirit, the helper, the advocate, the guide, your teacher who leads you into all truth. Guess what began to happen? The Holy Spirit began to descend upon the room and upon everyone in the room. Guess what's happening right now? The Holy Spirit is descending upon you right now. That whatever we talk about begins to manifest. If you begin to talk about the love of God, God pours out his love. When you talk about the Spirit's power, here he comes. The Holy Spirit's a person, and he comes to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. The baptism of the Holy Spirit gives you power, but the fire starts to purify you. Starts to burn out the old man, burn out the old Adam, so you can live in the new creation life that Jesus has predestined for you before the foundation of the world. So, Father, right now, that impartation of that Holy Spirit, how you baptized, how you healed, how you broke open the wells of salvation to every person in that room, just begin to do it right now. Let the prophetic words begin to flow. Lord, I pray right now you activate everyone's spiritual senses, that our eyes were created to see you, ears to hear you, hearts to love you, mouths to proclaim you. That right now I proclaim that you begin to see into the spiritual realm. That the spiritual realm is more real than the physical realm. That everything we see physically is controlled by what's happening spiritually in the invisible realm. That Jesus said, I have given you authority. So power, Father, right now, the Holy Spirit and the fire of God begin to fill your people.
Amen. Amen. Do you know that you are one of the people that God pours out his Holy Spirit upon you? Do you know you were meant to live Pentecost? You? Yeah, I know you say, not me. Yes, you. If not you, who else? You were meant to live Pentecost. And that is the power of the Holy Spirit in everything that we do. We carry that wonderful Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit gives us words so that we would not only offer our life to people, But tell them why we offer our life to people. Because of Jesus, who wants to become incarnate in the people that we're talking to. We're not talking about Jesus up in heaven somewhere. We're talking about Jesus, meeting him, meeting Jesus. I tell you, in 1968, I met the man. I remember Sister Josephine saying, when I said to her, "Sister, when did you experience Jesus?" "I never met the man," she said. I said, "Oh, come on now, maybe in your first communion." And she got mad. "I never met the man." "Well, you know what? We went through the life, and she never met the man." I said, "We're going to change that right now. We're going to meet the man. We're going to ask Jesus come into your life and to change you." Now, she was a nun for how many years, and she never met Jesus? Maybe that's you. You never met Jesus. You go to church, but you never met the Lord. How unfortunate. It's God's will that you meet Jesus. It's God's will that he change you by grace. It's God's will that you do miracles. Yes, you do miracles. Because not you, who else? And how are our miracles done? In the name of Jesus. We don't do them at all. It's done in the name of Jesus. Without Jesus, we have no miracles. Without Jesus, we have no grace. Without Jesus, we have no physical, spiritual, or emotional health without Jesus. But we don't have to be without him. He said, "No one who comes to me will I ever reject." Maybe you just snapped on the radio. You've never heard the word of God and Jesus saying, "No one who comes to me will I ever reject." Well, I tell you, I talk to people and to myself who have received many rejections. But not in with Jesus. "No one who comes to me will I ever reject. I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." It's the will of him who sent me that I should lose nothing, that's you, of what he has given me, but that I should raise it up on the last day. This is the will of the Father, that everyone who looks upon the Son and believes in him will have eternal life. Hallelujah. And I will raise him up on the last day. We have eternal life. You know what? Many years ago in the baptismal experience, they asked the godmother and godfather, "What do you want for this child?" And the answer was eternal life. This is real. At baptism, I received at 40 days old the infilling of God's Spirit. I wasn't able to do anything but go, "Mah!" All I was able to do was cry. But you know what? Grace is more powerful than intellect, I tell you. I received at 40 days old the presence of God. I didn't know it. I came to believe it as I started to grow up, that I didn't need to look at heaven for the presence of God, but he was in me by grace. Oh, and when I did the wrong thing, they call it sin, what did I do? I went to confession, and I confessed my sin. And when I left the confessional, I was like a newly baptized person. From the east and the west, I'm going to withdraw all your sins. Unfortunately, people don't go to confession anymore because we're too good, I tell you. No one is good enough not to go to confession.
But what if I don't sin, Father?
Well, if you don't sin, you make God a liar. That's what the Bible says. The person that says, "I don't sin," makes God a liar. Are you making God a liar? Maybe you need to say, "I don't know my sins." That's more likely.
That's why he gave us the Holy Spirit.
I don't know my sins. Holy Spirit, come and reveal my sins to me so I can confess them without torment. The Holy Spirit doesn't torment. If you're being tormented by your sins, you are being tormented by the devil.
Whatever sin you keep in darkness, it grows and it grows and it grows. But as soon as you bring it to the light, it becomes light and you become free. God's given us a system of holiness. God's given us a perfect system of ways for us to become light. In God, there is no darkness. Be perfect as I am perfect. God wants you to become perfect. He wants you to become divinized on this earth. And what is perfection? Because we're all going to fall. It's a heart posture. It's a heart disposition. The disposition to want to be perfect with God is good enough for God. What attracts God to us? It's humility. Humility attracts God like nothing else. Like a bug to a light zapper. That's humility to God. And what gives us great, great humility? Getting in front of another sinner and confessing our sin. It is intrinsic and it is built into the sacrament. Our flesh doesn't want to do it. Our flesh doesn't want to do it. It wants to keep everything, maybe between me and Jesus, everything in the dark so it continues to grow. Jesus says, it's simple, my child. Just bring it to the light. Just bring it to the light. And it will become light. If you're not Catholic, bring it to one of your friends. It's better than nothing. But you know, with that, there's many things that can happen. See, priests, they would go to jail. They would die before they broke their vow of saying what happens in the confessional. You know, our friends, our people in church, they don't have the same understanding or maybe the same draw to do it. But confess your sins. Confess your sins. Take the darkness and transmute it into light. Because that's ultimately the experience upon this earth. When we come to Jesus, we have darkness within us. And we want to be transmuted into light. Each and every part of us. All the darkness and trauma in our cells, in our receptacles, in our DNA. Jesus wants to come and invade it with his light. And he wants to make us light. God is light. In him there is no darkness. When you walk in a room, God wants your face to shine with the Shekinah glory of God. Unveiled like Moses. We don't cover our faces because we are glowing with the light of Christ. When I leave or someone leaves gazing at adoration, sitting in front of the Eucharist, the Blessed Sacrament, their face is shining with the light of God because they have received God's light, body, blood, soul, and divinity. You see, everything you need comes from God. All provision comes from God. I have a job. But my job is not my source. God is my source. I have things that make me happy, but those activities are not my source. God is my source. Jesus Christ is my source for everything. We are called to be the embodiment of Jesus on this earth. That you are the embodiment of Jesus Christ upon this earth. That the same power Jesus walked in is within you. That God wants you to max out and be the fullness of what God created you to be. And it only comes with this divine, intimate relationship with Jesus. That Jesus is not outside of you. He is, but the greater truth is he dwells within you. That Jesus Christ, the hope of glory, living in you. That you are now the living tabernacle of God. That in the church, we see the tabernacle that housed Jesus in the Eucharist. But you are the greater tabernacle housing Jesus within you. Living only to do God's will. Living only to glorify God. See, what pleases Jesus the most is the purity of intention which we do things and the intensity of love in which we operate from Jesus. So purity of intentions is doing things only for the glory of God. See, God is not a God of results. He's a God of intention. God's not looking to see it when I pray, did 100 people get healed? Because that's up to God. Jesus is looking, am I doing things with a pure heart only to glorify Jesus Christ? If I'm sweeping the floor, am I doing it because of love of God? See, holiness doesn't become from our calling. It's no holier to be a priest than it is to be a mom. Holiness comes from our purity of intention. Are we doing what God has called us to do? Only for the glory of Jesus, not for the glory of us. And are we operating with an intense passion for Jesus? It glorifies Jesus that we have an intensity and a love for Jesus. That I don't do things wishy-washy. I don't do things wishy-washy. I do things with all of my single focus upon Jesus, and I do it with intensity because love brings intensity. No more wishy-washy. No more what else, Father?
No more namby-pamby.
That's right.
No more namby-pamby.
That's a word for 2025.
No more namby-pamby. God knows it. We don't need to be namby-pamby-ish. We need to be Christians, the light of the world. The light of the world. That's what he called us. You are the light. the light of the world to bring the good news to people. That's what you're called to be. You're not called to be namby-pamby. You're not called... I remember saying something. We were preparing for a retreat, and I was one of the speakers. And I've said, we need to proclaim the power of Jesus Christ, crucified, dead, buried, and resurrected. And we need to proclaim that Jesus wants us to experience our first Pentecost. One of the people said, who was in the room that was going to be one of the people giving the retreat, well, we don't want to come on too strong. I looked at him and I said, the devil comes on very strong. He doesn't namby-pamby his way. He comes on very strong. I want to come on strong, but with love. Oh, yes, with love. I want to say you either are living for him or you're living against him. I don't say that. The scripture says that. I'm just telling you what God says. You don't need to be living against him. The only thing you need to do is say, here I am, Lord. Here I am. I come to do your will. Oh, yes, on that first Sunday of resurrection, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive shall be forgiven. Whose sins you retain shall be retained. Oh, yes, he gave us that sacrament of reconciliation for the church, for the people of God. You know, that's Jesus. And if you don't believe that, go to Jesus and tell him, as I said last week, you made a mistake saying that, Lord, because I'm not going to another person. I'm going straight to you. Well, read the 20th chapter of St. John's Gospel. You made a mistake, Jesus. Whose sins you forgive shall be forgiven. Whose sins you retain shall be retained. Tell Jesus he made a mistake.
So will you speak the truth in love? You know, Jesus said the world hates me and he'll hate you. Why did the world hate Jesus? Because he exposes the world, points out the evil in the world. Sometimes we got to call the truth in love. Sometimes, you know, it's the truth that breaks strongholds. But when we speak the truth, we're not communicating only the word of God, the truth of God, but the heart of God. See, love supersedes every other, I don't know the word, emotion characteristic. When the love of God comes upon someone, it breaks every wall. It breaks every barrier. It breaks everything. So when you come upon someone, it's not the words you speak. It's where are you speaking from? When I come on here, when Father comes on here, we want to communicate the heart and the love of God for you. We're going to tell you the truth in love, but we want you to understand that Jesus Christ, he died for you, you are the most prized possession of Jesus Christ. It's not this earth. This earth will pass away. That Jesus, for if it was you alone, he'd do it all again. You are the most prized possession in this world to Jesus Christ, because Jesus loves you and sees you and knows you as if you are the only person in this earth. See, Jesus, he has a one-on-one relationship with each and every person. It's not one world with a trillion people in it or 6 billion. It's really 6 billion worlds, because Jesus Christ is just you and him, and the next person is just you and him. And Jesus, he knows every pain in your heart, every freckle on your face, every hair on your head. And his only desire is to bring you into the fullness of his love, into the fullness of his grace. When confessing your sins lets you become light, he'll ask you to do it because it's for your good. When consuming the Eucharist does it, it will be good. See, we live in divine union with all of heaven. Jesus needed the angels, so do we. The saints, the cloud of witnesses, are right here, and they're praying for you. They're interceding for you. They're there doing the work of God from heaven, and they're there to help us. You know, there's a fullness that Jesus wants to bring each and every one of us in it. And Jesus today, Father, pour out the Holy Spirit, that I speak prophetically over your life, that you are going to be the fullness of what God created you to be. that you are the embodiment of Jesus Christ upon this earth, that you are not going to be stuck within yourself, but you're going to be an expansive supernatural being leading everyone into the heart of the Father. Jesus said, when I am lifted up, I will lead all men to myself. But guess what? Jesus dwells within you. So your presence is going to lead all people into the Sacred Heart of Jesus.
One at a time, one at a time, one at a time. I do not speak to multitudes. I speak to one person.
To you.
Yes, and the one person, as Anthony says, is you. That's who we speak to. And you know what? The other people listening. And we want them to be blessed also. It's time to be blessed. It's Lent, toward the end of Lent. It's time to be blessed. So, Father, in the name of Jesus the Lord, bless your people today. Oh, God, even if they haven't done anything during Lent, give them new life. Give them new hope. Give them new love. Bless your people today because Jesus died for them.
And we're going to end this show like we ended the Pentecost experience. What does the Bible say? Shout to the Lord.
One, two, three. Oh! God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. In Season and Out of Season. Oh.